The Camp David cabinet meeting this week was remarkable for reasons that had nothing to do with cabinet governance. Trump declared a controversial $1.8 billion legal defense fund. We don't yet have full clarity on whose defense fund specifically dead. He attacked Texas Senator John Cornyn, which is notable because Cornyn is a senior Republican who has generally tried to stay in the president's good graces. And perhaps most strangely, Trump blamed Minnesota, not Iran, for a cyber attack on U.S. water infrastructure, despite official intelligence pointing to Iranian actors. Attributing an Iranian attack to a Midwestern state does not appear to have any factual basis, and it puts the administration in the unusual position of contradicting its own intelligence agencies.
The Minnesota attribution is particularly strange given the context. We are 5 months into a conflict with Iran. Iran has demonstrated the capability and willingness to conduct cyber attacks on U.S. infrastructure. That's well documented. And the Camp David meeting that should have been focused on the Iran war response turned into an exercise in settling domestic political scores.
Senator Tommy Tuberville took to the Senate floor to call Social Security a Ponzi scheme, his exact words. This is a debate that has recurred in Republican politics for decades, but saying it on the Senate floor with this level of specificity, while Social Security's 2026 trustee report is already showing accelerated funding pressure, is politically remarkable. The program serves approximately 72 million Americans. The Ponzi scheme framing is legally and economically inaccurate. Ponzi schemes involve fraud, while Social Security is a statutory transfer program. But the political implication is that there's a growing appetite on the Republican right to describe the program in terms that would support significant restructuring or cuts.
The Indiana Senate Majority Leader's resignation over redistricting is a story that deserves more attention than it's getting. The Senate leader defied Trump's preferred redistricting outcome and paid for it with his position. This is a pattern we've seen in multiple states now. Republican state legislators who exercise independent judgment on matters the White House has a preference about find their positions untenable. The consolidation of party discipline around presidential preference at the state legislative level is a structural shift in how American federalism operates.
The Fox News polling data on the Texas and North Carolina Senate races is the kind of finding that reshapes campaign strategy. Seeing Democrats leading in Texas, even in a Fox News survey which tends toward Republican-leaning samples, reflects the cumulative weight of several factors: dissatisfaction with the Iran war's costs, supply chain price increases, and local political dynamics. North Carolina has been trending purple for a decade, but Texas showing Democratic leads this early in the cycle is a genuine signal.
And Senator Ricketts of Nebraska had a moment that illustrated the current atmosphere around press freedom. He used a security checkpoint to evade a TMZ journalist who was asking follow-up questions about Mitch McConnell, effectively calling Capitol Police on a reporter. He later apologized and admitted he reacted poorly. The McConnell connection wasn't elaborated on publicly, but the incident highlights how much journalists covering Congress are navigating a more adversarial environment than at any point in recent memory.
Senator Collins walked out of a press conference when a reporter raised questions about her son-in-law's white nationalist ties. The Epstein Files story is also developing. A federal judge is now privately reviewing unredacted records after the DOJ complied with a court order. And Trump is appealing a ruling that voided an IRS audit immunity deal. There's a through line in several of these stories about the relationship between powerful people and the legal accountability structures that are supposed to apply to them.
The White House renovation story, Trump's gold decor, statues and self-portraits across the White House and D.C. landmarks, now estimated at over $1 billion in total cost, is polling badly, with most Americans disapproving. But it's worth contextualizing the $1 billion figure. It exceeds the annual budget for the Smithsonian Institution, which manages 19 museums. That's the scale of comparison that makes the number concrete.